I liked our effort, and that's what we got to, you know, we got to keep working, you know, in that direction and keep working hard and just playing hard.
Purdue men's basketball coach Matt Painter talking about his team's 87-77 win Sunday night over Northwestern. You are listening to the WBAA Purdue Sports Podcast. I'm Sam Clement, along with student reporter Rob McMahon. And Rob, a big win for the Boilermakers at Mackey Arena ends a two-game slide, and they looked pretty good. There was some up and downs against the Wildcats, but a bevy of threes midway through the second half really turned things around and has the Boilermakers' NCAA tournament hopes still very much alive.
It was exactly what this team needed at the right moment. They have a great game on the road against Ohio State. They come up a little bit short in that one, and they're able to come back home and get the big win that they needed against a really good Northwestern team who's kind of been in the same position we've been all season. They're still fighting for that possible NCAA bid. They're looking to they're not going to be a high-seeded team, but they're still looking for that position. And it was a dogfight the entire way through, it seemed.
It really was. John Cherna for Northwestern had maybe the quietest 30 points you'll ever see a player have, but he kept them alive and had a three, actually, with about a minute left that if it would have fallen, would have brought the game within 4 points and maybe given Northwestern some life. But Purdue does a good job actually closing out a game, which has been a bit of a struggle for them this season. And it's been an interesting week for Matt Painter's club. They had a tough road loss at Ohio State, who was ranked third at the time, and Purdue very competitive in that game. It was a game they probably could have won down the stretch, and they've played better because of maybe some shifts in the lineup. You saw Lewis Jackson come off the bench the last two games. DJ Bird is in the starting lineup. Anthony Johnson now in the starting lineup. Just what do you make of the rotation that Matt Painter's trying to put together here?
I think it's been more of a statement that he's made to his team. Like, you know what? You're not guaranteed that starting spot anymore. Any one of these guys sitting on the bench that works harder than you is going to prove themselves, and they're going to be the ones to start the games. And I mean, I think especially Tyrone Johnson really kind of took that to heart with the way that he was playing the other day, diving across the media bench and to save a ball in order to get back into play and then right back in the play to get the 2 points.
Yeah, that was a heck of an effort play there by Tyrone. And Tyrone was one of five Boilermakers in double figures in that game against Northwestern. He finished with 11. Robbie Hummel with a season-high 27. And DJ Bird just continues his great play. He scored 20, had a pivotal three there, too, after Purdue had fallen behind by one. Bird comes up, hits a three, and then on the ensuing possession, hits Tyrone Johnson for a three. And so things are really starting to come together. I asked DJ Bird after the game against Northwestern what he thinks about this team slowly but surely coming together and finding their various roles.
That's one thing that's been discussed in practice is just do your job, both offensively and defensively. And our guys, I think it's starting to come around to where they understand who can drive, who can shoot, who can do certain things. And I continue to do that, good things happen for us.
And maybe no player a better example of that than Lewis Jackson. Played just 25 minutes in the game against Northwestern, 5 points, but an 8-0 assist or turnover ratio. The senior taking a back seat, coming off the bench, but playing just as a senior you'd expect him to play, very hard and not complaining about his minutes, just doing his job and doing it very well.
That's exactly what we've been expecting out of him all season. I mean, the way he is, he doesn't tend to drive the lane very often. He's more of a very team-oriented player. He's going to pass the ball around a lot more. You hope that he gets games like that where he gets those high assist to turnover ratios. And I mean, all season he's kind of been battling on and off with injuries, and it was just good to see him. The time that he had out on the floor was very he did a lot of good things.
The same is to be said about Ryan Smith, who was benched in that Ohio State game, didn't start. Another senior who found his way back into the starting lineup against Northwestern responded very well. 5 of 9 from the field, 4 of 7 from downtown, finished with 14 points and 7 rebounds. Just another excellent performance by those two seniors who have had to kind of take a different role over these last few weeks. And it may be starting to pay off here for the Boilermakers down the stretch, but still a lot of work to be done. They are now 16-9 and even 6-6 in the Big Ten. But some interesting contests coming up here starting Wednesday as they travel to Illinois. Rob, this is a must-have again for the Boilermakers.
Exactly. I mean, a big win against Northwestern will hopefully just kind of be the catalyst for this team to realize what they needed to move on. They need this win at Illinois to get a good road win to be able to hopefully secure their position in the NCAA.
And if you look at the remaining schedule, again, there's 68 teams in the tournament that's been expanded over the years, so there is a little more wiggle room. But as you look at the Boilermakers' remaining schedule at Illinois, at home against a ranked Michigan State team, a now top 10 Michigan State team, at home against Nebraska and at Michigan, you look at those four games, there's really no place that Purdue can afford to lose. Those are all pivotal matchups, so there's going to have to be a high level of focus over these next 2 weeks.
Exactly. Every game is going to have to be that must-win mentality for the Boilermakers. They've kind of gotten a little bit of more – they've gotten more energy lately. They've played with more heart, it seems. And hopefully that'll be able to transfer into these upcoming games against more ranked opponents.
Again, they will kick tip off with the Illini 8:30 on Wednesday. That game will be played in Champaign. Now, the Purdue women had a great chance to really put their stamp on – a national spotlight. They went to Columbus, competed very hard against Ohio State, but in the end, the Buckeyes able to come out with an 80-71 win, and the loss drops Purdue now into basically a logjam at the top of the Big Ten, a four-way tie. Purdue and Ohio State, two of the teams in that logjam. Another team is Penn State. The Boilermakers get them next. Rob, that has to be just a disheartening loss for Purdue, even though they played pretty well throughout the entire game.
That was one of those games that either team could have easily won. It came down to one mistake late in the second half. The Boilers are being able to climb back. They're down by only two. They expected to be able to just have a tough defense. They left a shooter open beyond the arc. Ohio State expands their lead and just kind of is able to hold it from there. But it's just one of those times where you see that it's a bad thing that you lose, but they have to be able to look at the upside. They're still tied in the four-way tie for first place in the Big Ten. They still have a good schedule where they get to take on another first-place team in Penn State on Thursday, and hopefully then they'll be able to kind of make that statement game that they've been looking for all season.
And that play Rob was talking about, it was late in the game. Sam Perhalis on an inbound pass for Ohio State just stepped right back in, got the ball back on basically a give-and-go and was wide open for three, and she knocked it down. And that was basically the turning point. It broke the game open just enough where Ohio State was able to hold on. Another strong performance, though, from Brittany Rayburn. The senior scores 22, 9 of 15 from the field, 3 of 6 from downtown. A couple other things, though, that hurt Purdue in the second half. They gave up 3 3-point fouls, where it sent the Buckeyes to the free throw line for three. They hit 8 of 9 of those free throws. And that really changed the complexity of the game. It allowed Ohio State to kind of get into an offensive rhythm, get some easy buckets, and slowly but surely chip away at the deficit, which they eventually turned into a lead. But now a big one for Purdue moving forward. They have another team that they're currently tied with atop the Big Ten, Penn State. Rob, you look at this game, and you know the spotlight will be on both teams coming into this one.
Exactly. Both teams are going to be looking for that statement. They're both going to be looking for that. If we get this win, that puts us either remaining tied for first place or at least gives them a half-game lead over a couple other teams. For Purdue, Brittany Rayburn's going to have to keep her momentum moving on. She's going to have to keep doing what she's been doing all season long and just producing for the Boilers. K.K. Hauser, Courtney Moses are going to need to step up on the floor. And Sam Ostrello, who's coming off her fourth double-double of the season, is really going to have to come out and really play her heart out.
And traditionally, Purdue has played very well against the Lady Lions of Penn State. They won 11 straight before Penn State got the best of them in the Big Ten tournament last year. So Purdue definitely knows how to beat this team. The Boilermakers looking for their first regular season conference title since 2002. That's a 6 o'clock tip-off Thursday at Mackey Arena, so the Boilermakers will have the home court advantage. Just a note for those interested in going to the game, tickets are $5 for the Penn State-Purdue game. So the Big Ten on the line, you can get those tickets for just $5. It's a 6 o'clock tip-off at Mackey Arena. Purdue taking on Penn State for at least a current share of the Big Ten lead.
You know, I think the guys gained some confidence from winning this season, and there were some times it wasn't easy, and you know, a lot of other football teams may have given up. And we have shown some resilience in the past, and we did again this year, and our resiliency paid off with a winning season and a bowl win.
Purdue head football coach Danny Hope talking to the press at his end-of-the-year press conference. Just a recap of the season, was very encouraged by some of the things he saw, likes what he has coming in terms of a recruiting class, likes what he has from some of those guys returning. We talked about a logjam atop the Big Ten Women's Conference standings for basketball. There's a logjam at quarterback for Purdue and what they're going to do. Rob, Coach Hope didn't really shed any light on who is the main guy heading into spring camp. Who would you expect to be under center here for the Boilermakers when they start the 2012 season?
You have a number of returning quarterbacks. I mean, Robert Marv's coming back. A lot of people are going to be expecting him, sixth-year senior, to kind of be the possible starter. Caleb Turbush is still returning, who really did well, especially in the second half of the season, really kind of came into his own and found a good rhythm. Rob Henry is coming back off injury this year. There's a lot of people that are looking forward to seeing him back under center. So, I mean, there's definitely there's three main guys up at the top. One of them who, beginning of last year, we never thought would really be in the conversation with Caleb Turbush. But I have a feeling it's probably going to have to be Robert Marv, going to be the senior. They're going to look for him with the more experience. My best estimate would be Robert Marv would be number one, Rob Henry two, Caleb Turbush three.
And the good news for Rob Henry, Coach Hope talked about this in the press conference. He said Henry felt like he could have come back toward the end of last season. So it doesn't sound like there's going to be any lingering issues in terms of his health. It'll now just be a matter of getting back into game shape and seeing what he can do. I thought something interesting that came out this week, the NCAA considering changing the kickoffs to what the NFL did last season, moving it up to the 35-yard line. That will eliminate the amount of returns. One of Purdue's key assets last year was in the return game. They had the number one returner in the entire country, Raheem Mostert, and now they might not have that advantage. So a potential rule change here that could very much impact what Purdue does next season.
It's going to be interesting to kind of watch how this possible rule change progresses, and really it's going to change the face of Purdue football. If we don't get that return game anymore, it's going to be a lot more pressure on our offense to be able to start from the 20 on almost every drive, especially coming off of defensive scoring opportunities. When Purdue gets scored upon, they're not going to be able to build much momentum off kick returns anymore. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
And just speaking of Raheem Mostert, just to switch sports momentarily, he's running track to stay in shape, and he competed in his first 200-meter dash over the weekend. He finished with a 8th place finish, 21.27 seconds. Not too bad for his first ever 200 here on the collegiate level. The guy's got speed, no doubt, and just continuing to prove what he can do on the track field. And as we said, hopefully we'll have the opportunity to return plenty of kickoffs for the Boilermakers in the fall. Just another note here from the Purdue football team. They have pretty much figured out their defensive coaching staff. They have Kevin Wolthausen. He is the newest addition. He will coach the defensive line. Comes from the Las Vegas Locomotives in the United Football League. Helped that team win two titles in 2009 and 2010. They lost in the title game this past year. He also has some collegiate coaching experience. Coached at Eastern Michigan, also at Louisville, and spent a season with the Atlanta Falcons. So the defense with K.K. Short and Ricardo Allen, Ryan Russell, all those guys, it looks like they're going to have a pretty good nucleus next season, but now they've got some new coaches in place. It'll be interesting, Rob, to see here what they do in terms of meshing with this new coaching staff. Just what do you expect out of the defense?
I'm really looking forward to seeing how the new coaching staff will come in and kind of what they're going to preach to this team who has kind of lived off defense the last several years. It's really been one of those positions on Purdue defense that they've really always kind of shined through, even when the team as a whole isn't winning like we're expecting. So there seems to be a history with a bunch of these coaches of doing well outside the collegiate level. It'll be interesting to watch how these Arena League football, how a lot of other kind of types of football coaching will come into play here.
Coach Wolthausen coached Elvis Dumervil, who is obviously one of the best players in the NFL now, had a great collegiate career, so it'll be interesting to see what he can do with a talent like Kwon Short, like Bruce Gaston, those guys up front, maybe turn them into All-Americans themselves. That has to be encouraging for the Purdue faithful. Just one last note from Danny Hope, an interesting takeaway from the press conference. He talked about one of the main areas that he wants his team to focus on in the offseason, and it really has less to do with about what they do in between the white lines.
We've made some real progress, you know, in our program and with our play on Saturdays, and I think we're going in the right direction, but we're going to have to become a more disciplined football team. We have too many penalties. We have too many dumb penalties. You know, sometimes it's, you know, guys that are really trying hard and they're giving you all they have, and that's that happens sometimes, and sometimes it's guys that just need to be more disciplined.
So the Purdue head football coach, Danny Hope, looking for a little more discipline from his players. I think that comes with maturity. Purdue had a lot of young guys last season with another year of experience. They now know how to win. They now know what it takes to win in the postseason. I think that will go a long way to what they do in the upcoming season. Not that far away, if you think about it. I know it just seems like the football season ended, but September 1st is the first game with Eastern Kentucky for the Purdue football team. So just to wrap up, again, the schedule this week, the men's basketball team on the road at Illinois in another must-win, an 8:30 tip-off Wednesday in Champaign from Matt Painter's club. The women, they are at home Thursday in a battle for the top place in the Big Ten, taking on Penn State, a 6 o'clock tip-off against the Lady Nittany Lions. For Rob McMahon, I'm Sam Clement. You've been listening to the WBAA Purdue Sports Podcast.